then tell me, Shano Farrell, tell me why you're hurting so. Hush your vocal, hush and listen, and his cheeks were all aglow. I bet orders from the captain get you ready quick and soon. For the pikes must be together at the rising of the moon. At the rising of the moon, at the rising of the moon. For the pikes must be together at the rising of the moon. And come tell me, Sean O'Farrell, where the gathering is to be. At the old spot by the river, quite well known to you and me. One more word for signal token, whistle out the marching tune. Put your pike upon your shoulder at the rising of the moon. At the rising of the moon, at the rising of the moon. Put your pike upon your shoulder at the rising of the moon. Out from many's a mud wall cabin, eyes were watching through the night. Many a manly heart was beating for the blessed morning light. Bombers rang along the valley like the banshee's lonely croon. And a thousand pikes were flashing by the rising of the moon. By the rising of the moon, by the rising of the moon. And a thousand pikes were flashing by the rising of the moon. All along that singing river, that black mass of men was seen. And above their shining weapons flew their own beloved green. Death to every foe and traitor, whistle out the marching tune. And a rabbi voice for freedom, 'tis the rising of the moon. 'Tis the rising of the moon, 'tis the rising of the moon. And around me boys for freedom, 'tis the rising of the moon. 'Tis the rising of the moon, 'tis the rising of the moon. And around me boys for freedom, 'tis the rising of the moon.
Well, you're very welcome to Keologus Crack. It's Ken here on the boards doing the old music this morning. Hope you enjoyed the kickoff there. We started out with a bit of trad stuff, The Stray Away Child by the Bothy Band, and followed that up with someone who'll be joining us a little bit later from Ottawa, Graham Lindsay, and one of his own compositions there, a track called Shack Wacky. Can't wait to ask him what that one is all about. And then we just finished up there with Damien Dempsey and The Rising of the Moon. It's the sun we want rising, Mark, to get a bit of heat in us today. Wee bit nippy there this morning.
A little bit nippy. Kenny, good morning, and good morning to all of our listeners. Listen, I was up bright and early. I had a bit of firewood delivered there to the house yesterday and didn't get to it because I was busy. But got up nice and early this morning, Kenny, and got a bit of a sweat on at about 7, moved all the wood out to the back. And then I got a bit of a run at pulling up the vegetable plants that are no longer. There's a few hanging around out there, but that's what I would encourage you to do, pal. Get out there and work up a bit of a sweat doing a little bit of outside work. It's a gorgeous day out there. A little bit nippy, no doubt, but still lovely, lovely bit of sun out there today.
Yeah, I think we're promised sunshine for at least another week, so it's good. I'm glad we got the weather out of the way anyway. I hope the plants are doing good. You still haven't brought me any vegetables, by the way.
No, I'm in the process of jarring the hot peppers there for you, Ken. I'm still waiting for some of them to turn red, but there might be a mixture of red and green in them, but they'll still be nice and hot for you to put on the pizza and the pasta and all that stuff. So don't worry.
I love it. Well, I met a few Sligo people last night, and we went out for a bite to eat and a couple of beverages, and a fella, Eugene Savage, said to say hello to you.
Oh, but the hokey. How is the bald Eugene doing?
Oh, he's doing great. Mighty altogether. He's in great form. And in fairness now to him, he made some delicious Irish brown bread and brought it as a gift for me. And that was the breakfast of champions I had this morning. Now I had the Irish brown bread and a nice fried egg on it. That's how I was working up a sweat this morning, Mark.
Well, I will tell you, Ken, now you'll be absolutely thrilled with this. My breakfast this morning, in between the little bit of gardening, was a couple of nice fried eggs on brogies, believe it or not. So good, I man. Did my thing for you this morning, so it's all good. So come here, I'm assuming, is Eugene listening in this morning? I assume he is, he might be.
Yeah, he said he was getting up to put the kettle on and be listening in, so there
brilliant,
you go.
Brilliant. Now, has he changed at all? And by that I mean, did he offer to pay for any part of the meal at all? Or did he get the alligator hands again?
No, he's good. He's good that way now. I think he took care of it all. He's a big man that way. He'd never let you down. Eugene had never let you down.
Love Eugene. Brilliant.
So we've got a very busy show today. We're going to welcome our new ambassador to Canada, not only to Canada, but also Jamaica and the Bahamas. Ambassador Eamon McKee will join us on the program. And we'll have our honorary consul, Ethna Heffernan, will do the honors as well. So we're looking forward to having a chat with Eamon and to see what he's all about and what he's going to be bringing to us over the next few years. And we'll be chatting then to a couple of musicians, a local lad, Graham Lindsay up in Ottawa. And I mentioned there that we just played one of his tracks, and he has a new album out. So we'll have a chat with Graham. And also Ken Griffin down in New York. He's a Dubliner down in New York. He's made New York his home, and he's producing music down there with a band called August Wells, and some nice stuff coming out of them. And also a big congratulations to ICANN, the Eamon O'Loughlin Irish Canada Immigration Center there, and Kathy Murphy and all the staff down there. They've made it to the finals of the Toronto Star Reader's Choice nomination. So we will definitely want people to help them out and keep voting for them. Their category is Best Learning Center, and the voting is open now, and it runs till October the 11th. So we'll have a call in from Kathy to promote that as well, because apparently there's two Irish Canadian immigration centers on the list, and only one of them is the one that we all know. So we've got to be careful about that when you're voting. All right. So, what else? A couple of games in the League of Ireland last night. A bit of an old stalemate there. Derry and St. Patrick's Athletic were 0-0. Sligo Rovers went down to the boys who were chasing Shamrock Rovers. Bowes beat Sligo Rovers 1-0 in about the 80th minute. And then there's a game today, Shelburne and Finn Harps. And then Shamrock Rovers and Waterford play on Monday. So there you go. That. Big rugby matches this weekend. Quarterfinals of the Champions Cup, Mark.
Yeah.
Your Leinster lads will be have probably just taken the pitch, actually. That game has kicked off against Saracens, the boys who beat them in the final last year. So Leinster will be out looking for a bit of blood there. And then tomorrow afternoon, Ulster take on Toulouse. And they are traveling over to France for that game. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, that Saracens Leinster game will be a cracker. So we'll keep our listeners updated on that one, if that's okay. Some of you might have one eye on DAZN watching that, and the other ear on the radio. So we'll see what's going on. We'll keep everyone apprised of what's going on there. Hey, Ken, in all eyes on Sligo tomorrow, I would say, for the. The Drumcliff Rosses Point versus Tourless Dran Senior Football Championship final in Sligo. I'd say that'll be a belter now.
Yeah, I was looking online there, and there's three championship games all taking place in Markovic Park, and you can buy your €25 ticket and you can stream that. So there you go. But I see all the counties, there's some big stuff going on. Was it last night, maybe in Leash, or it's today? But all the counties are out there, and loads of them are streaming, even though I suppose there are some numbers of fans that can attend sporting events, limited numbers. But we won't get into all the controversy that happened this week, will we, in Ireland, with the level one, level two, level three, level two, level one nonsense.
No, we won't. We won't get into that. I don't know too much about it now, so you'd be carrying that conversation for the most part.
Okay, then we will leave it out then. It'll only be one way. It was a disaster anyway. But anyway, look at Dublin is going into lockdown, and that's the height of it anyway. So it's not good for the country, not good for the people, but you know, we need to be they need to be pulling up their socks now. And a big big game played there this week. AC Milan and Zlatan visited Tala and took on Shamrock Rovers. And Shamrock Rovers, in fairness, kept them to just the 2-0 scoreline. I don't know if you caught that.
I didn't see the game, but I did do a little bit of reading about it. But yeah, it sounds like they put it up to them at least a little bit. So AC Milan, of course, would be one of the dominant teams now, I would say, this year. But so that's a fantastic showing for them, right?
It is indeed, and a nice little story out of it. One of the lads, Aaron Green, was marking Zlatan there for a bit, in particular on corners, and he said to him, "Hey, would you mind if we exchange jerseys? My son Jack is a ball boy there behind the goals, and he'd love your jersey." And Zlatan actually gave him the jersey, so that was pretty cool.
Super.
Yeah, so he said he was a real nice fella, even though Zlatan's got that reputation. But I've been a bit of a bowel boy. He came through big time.
Yeah, I was waiting for a different outcome in Zlatan style to that one, right?
Yeah.
So brilliant. And of course, hey, the Irish ladies soccer team had a big game today against Germany. Unfortunately, it didn't go their way. They went down 3-0 to Germany. Now, Germany, of course, would be one of the best teams in the world, ladies soccer. Unfortunately, they couldn't get the job done. And then, of course, the other bit of big news in golf is that the U.S. Open is on down just outside of New York City. And McDowell and John Sugrue from Cork, they both missed the cut. But I see that Lowry and McIlroy did make the cut. Lowry just hit the course. He's bogeyed his first hole because the lads at the back of the bus are heading out now. And, of course, so you had, McIlroy and Lowry both sitting at plus six, and the cut was plus six. So they'll all be going out early this morning. But I was just watching a little bit of it here before we kicked off the show. And the superintendent was livid that so many players went under par on Thursday. And yesterday decided to make the course extremely difficult. They still weren't happy that there were still six or seven players under par and that some players actually shot under par yesterday. They were a little bit gutted about that. So now they've decided to amp it up again. You should see the carnage going on in the early play there. So I would say that this could be some exciting golf over the weekend, Ken, where you may see somebody move all the way up from plus six to win the US Open. So that literally any player in the field could win this. That is the type of swing that you can see on a golf course like this. And of course, if the weather if the weather kind of helps the boys in the morning, and the lads in the afternoon have it tougher because the wind is supposed to get up, you've got you might see a very squashed leaderboard at the end of the day, and you know, plus two or plus three might win this tournament. So if Rory can go minus four, for example, over the next 2 days, he might do some damage, or Shane for that matter. So should be interesting.
It should be interesting, but not on Rory's play yesterday, that's for sure. So we'll have to see what he brings this weekend.
Yeah, he's definitely erratic at the moment, and but if he does do what he did on Thursday, he can get the job done. But his putting just seems to be off these days, and just lots of parts of his game seem to be off. But should be interesting anyway.
It should indeed. All right. Well, look, if we'll belt into some music, we can keep all the chats going a little bit later. We'll have, as we said, our new ambassador will be joining us at the bottom of the hour here. And we'll play some tracks here in between. And this one, this man would have turned 95 this past week. The great B.B. King, Mark, sadly passed away there in 2015. But here he is singing a track with them four young fellas from Dublin, or what used to be anyway, young fellas. They're getting on now a wee bit. Here's When Love Comes to Town with U2 and B.B. King.
And for the harm that it right done, at last was done to none but me. And all I've done for want of wit to memory now I can't recall. So fill to me the parting glass. Good night, and joy be with you home. Oh, if I had the money enough to spend in leisure time to sit while there's a fair maid in this town that sorely has my heart beguiled. Her rosy cheeks and ruby lips, she alone has my heart enthralled. So fair to me the parting glass. Good night, sorry for my going away. And of all the sweethearts that e'er I had, they wish me one more day to stay. But
the Quinn family invite you to visit downtown Toronto's oasis of Irish hospitality at the Irish Embassy, 49 Yonge Street at Wellington, and PJ O'Brien's at 39 Colborne, just behind the King Edward Hotel. The Irish Embassy, a landmark of classic architecture, is your downtown destination for drinks, snacks, lunch, or dinner. Call 416-866-8282. And just around the corner, enjoy the local pub atmosphere of PJ O'Brien's, serving the best in pub fare and also your downtown venue for an intimate evening dinner. PJ's has live music every Friday and Saturday night. Call PJ's at 416-815-7562.
What's the news? What's the news? I'll be bow, shall malear, which your long barrel's gun from the sea. Say what wind from the south brings your messenger here with the hymn of the dawn for the free. Goodly news, goodly news, do I that's his height with some inches to spare, and he looks like a king in command. And me boys, that's the pride of the Bow Chandeliers, amongst our greatest of heroes a man. Fling your beavers aloft and get tree ringing cheers for John Kelly, the boy from Killarney. And slaves. Glory, oh, glory, oh, to the brave sons who died for the cause of long down trodden men. Glory, oh, to Mount Leinster, some darling and bright, Douglas Kelly, the boy from the land.
All right, there you go. A little High Kings and Kelly the Boy from Killarney. And before that, a friend of the show, Shebelle, and Parting Glass. And we had some sad news, Mark, throughout the week. A good friend of the program and a great friend of Eamon O'Loughlin's, Paddy Dunn, lost his stepfather, George Zarkowski. And Paddy had requested that song, The Parting Glass, there. And we wish them well. I believe they're heading off to the church this morning. So our condolences to Paddy and Rita and the family there. Well, we're really delighted to have our next guests on the phone. We have a new ambassador to Canada, Jamaica, and the Bahamas, Ambassador Eamon McKee, and of course our another great friend of the program, our honorary consul Ethna Heffernan, is also on the line. A very good morning to you.
Good morning,
Ken. How are you?
Morning, Mark, and good morning, Ambassador.
And good morning to all your listeners.
Thank you, Ambassador. We're gonna hand the line over here to our honorary consul Ethna to give a Cead Míle Fáilte to you.
Well, thank you so much, Ken and Mark, for inviting me to do this. It really is a pleasure and a privilege. I had a good chat with the ambassador yesterday, and it's I'm thrilled to be able to introduce him to the community here in Toronto. He's Ambassador Designate to Canada, Dr. Eamon McKee, and he has, I just lost my notes for just one second. He's going to tell you his story, so I'm going to make this fairly brief. Just wanted to give you some highlights of a very, very distinguished career. He has an Honours BA in Modern Irish History and Economics from UCD and a PhD from the National University of Ireland. He is married to Mary and they have three wonderful children. He's been Director General of Trade and Promotion since August 2015. And prior to that, he joined the DFA in 1986. He worked for the Anglo-Irish Division for the next 20 years, spending six of those years in Washington, D.C., where he was engaged with Congress on immigration reform and with the Clinton White House on the emerging Northern Ireland peace process. While serving with the Anglo-Irish Division, he was focused on security issues, including Bloody Sunday, contentious parades, policing, and confidence in the rule of law, the use of lethal weapons, the Cori process, and criminal justice reform. He was a member of Irish government talks team that negotiated the Good Friday Agreement and was later involved in its implementation on the policing and justice agenda. From 2004, he served in Irish Aid on the emergency humanitarian side as the UN director and founding director of the Conflict Resolution Unit. He has served as ambassador to Seoul, Korea, and to Israel. And as I mentioned, he has been Director General of Trade and Promotion Division since August 2015. He's a blogger, and you can access his blogs on his website at www.eamonmckee.com. So, Ambassador-designate McGee, we are incredibly lucky to have you posted here for the next phase of your career. You are joining a wonderful team, as I'm sure you found out now in Ottawa. And for me, on behalf of the Irish community in the Greater Toronto Area, I want to extend a very, very warm welcome to you, to Mary, and to your family to Canada. We wish you every success, and we look forward to hosting you when hopefully fairly soon you can come and visit us here in Toronto. The Cade Mida Foil to Roth and Shaw.
Well, Gormagat, Edna, that was a lovely introduction, so you're hired. It'd be a great PR. No, it's a great pleasure to be here and to talk to the Irish community, and of course, looking forward to getting down there at the first opportunity. And listen, it's my honour and delight to be here in Canada. We're really thrilled with this posting. You know, as I said earlier, we're thrilled to be here, and even though we haven't left the house for the last week, and we've got another week to go. But yeah, listen, this is a great honour to be in this country, and it was actually a posting we wanted because two of our daughters are in the United States. One of them is with us now. And yeah, it's a brilliant posting for me. So I'm really thrilled to be here.
So you're still in lockdown, Ambassador, are you?
Yeah, we've done a week, and you know, it's a great house to be in if you have to do a lockdown. But we're beginning to count the days now because, you know, the neighborhood is absolutely beautiful. The weather is fantastic, and you just want to get out and about, you know. And you know, Ottawa's nearby, and it's a little bit frustrating, but it's the times we live in. It's just something we've got to do, you know. I have to say, coming here was a bit eerie. You know, we left from Dublin to Toronto and then Ottawa, and you're on an airplane with 200 seats and 48 people on it. The airports are kind of deserted, you know. It just brings it home to you how different life is. And for myself and the team here, you know, at the embassy, and Frank and Jennifer over in Vancouver, you know, our professional life is now very different because we're doing things on Zoom and VC and trying to do things at a distance. And that really, you know, it takes away from the kind of the thrill of being on a posting, which is meeting people. You know, I mean, that's essentially what you do at the beginning. You meet a lot of people, and we just have to find new ways of working, you know. But listen, we'll get there, you know, we'll get there.
Ambassador, it's Mark here. When they give you the quote-unquote briefing on the posting for Ambassador for Canada, Bahamas, and Jamaica, what are some of the things that maybe they would highlight for you as, hey, during this posting, here are some of the challenges, or here are some of the things that we would like to see improve? What are some of those things? Maybe you might refer to as what legacy you want to leave behind, but I'm assuming entering it, there are, you know, goals to be achieved. What would be some of the things that briefing might say about perhaps needing improvement, if you will?
Well, I mean, first of all, I think the relationship between Ireland and Canada has gone on from strength to strength. And I'd like to pay a tribute to my predecessor, Jim Kelly, who's done a fantastic job in the team here, because we had, under his tenure, you know, an uptick in the number of high-level visits, which was unprecedented, I think, for a period of time there, with the two visits by the Taoiseach and the Kenny and Leo Varadkar, and a lot of ministers coming in. You know, fundamentally, that's what you have to do is forge the links at the highest level, because that really animates the whole relationship. The second big pillar, I think, is the relationship with the Irish community here, which is the community is obviously very vibrant, but it's drawing those links between the community and Ireland as much as possible. And you know, the department does support that financially through the Irish the Immigrant Support Program. so that the great organizations that are in Toronto and across Canada can continue their work, whether that's offering support to Irish immigrants in Canada or culture or outreach. So that diaspora relationship is really, really important, and particularly so because of the Irish immigration to Canada that happened after the financial crisis. You know, new Irish communities in Toronto and Vancouver and elsewhere, you know, so that kind of our support for those communities is only possible through the existing Irish organizations and the fantastic work that Aetna does, you know. The third pillar, I suppose, is economic relations. And again, they've been boosted by CETA, the Canada-European Trade Agreement. And so we will be looking to exploit all of those opportunities to build business. I think building cultural links and academic links, I think, is really important too. You know, so it's the full range of bilateral relations, but ultimately it is about people to people and making those connections, deepening people's awareness of their Irish heritage. I think that's a really important thing too, because, you know, we have a higher proportion of people of Irish ancestry in Canada than I think pretty much anywhere else. And I'm not sure that Ireland's profile outside of the Irish community is what it should be. I think it can be developed. And that's something I would certainly be looking to do, you know, along with the team here and in Vancouver. The government is also committed to opening a consulate in Toronto, and I think that would be another great, fantastic platform. We already have the state agencies, many of them working in Toronto, and of course it's such a vibrant city. I think an Irish consulate there will be fantastic as well, you know.
Yeah, that'd be great news for the community if that can be pulled off. If I could take you back a little bit, Ambassador, to your role in Washington and been part of the peace accord and that, and then what you see now happening with this Brexit that's looming, could you maybe give us some of your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, Brexit, I mean, we just don't think it's a good idea for anybody. But, you know, it's pretty much a done deal at this stage. I think it's been, you know, we've managed it as well as we could. Fantastic leadership from the then teacher, Cliath Radker, but also our minister, Simon Coveney, who's been absolutely brilliant on this. And I think I'd also pay tribute to Enda Kenny, because right from the beginning of Brexit, he had immediately spotted the danger that this represented to the Northern Ireland peace process, and he went on a diplomatic offensive in Europe and really rallied the European community around Ireland, around the peace process, around the undivided, economically undivided country that is Ireland today. And that was a huge achievement and a major platform, you know. My own department then always made sure to bring senior European officials when they came to Ireland, to bring them up to the border, to bring them to Auchnacloy, to kind of challenge them, can you tell us where the border is? Because you really couldn't see it. So that was really, really a huge diplomatic triumph. And we've put that really at the center of it. Because at the end of the day, the peace process was about there being very little border between Ireland, North and South. And that was a result of the European Union and the single market. So, of course, Brexit cuts to the heart of this, because if Brexit means anything, it means, you know, exiting the single market. Our kind of primary interests are in forging as good a relationship as possible economically with Britain. I think that's in everybody's interests. But at the end of the day, we have to protect the Good Friday Agreement. And that means making sure that there isn't any border checks on the island of Ireland, because that's the heart of the peace process, you know. So it's challenging times. I think in a way, a lot of people feel, you know, that this was a surprise. I don't think anybody really, nobody could have foreseen, I think, that Britain would leave the European Union. And so we're dealing with this. I mean, in many ways, you could say that Ireland and Britain, for the first time in a long, long time, are moving in different directions. So we have to get past, I think, the immediate crisis, which is going to be the withdrawal of Britain from the European Union at the end of December. We hope and we're hoping for a deal between the European Union and Britain. We don't want a no deal. Thereafter, I think it's going to be a real challenge for Ireland and for Irish diplomacy and the Irish government, which is to reconstruct relations with Britain now that it's not in the European Union, because we would do an awful lot of business with Britain in the European Union. In fact, Britain will miss them. They were great partners for us within the European Union. Now we have to kind of reconstruct relations with them, you know. So that's a big challenge with a long time span ahead, you know. So a lot of reconstruction work, I think, will have to be done after this disruption, you know.
And no question, no question. It should be maybe a little bit easier for you to develop relations between Canada and Ireland than that particular one.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah.
You know, you mentioned travel, and it's going to be a little bit difficult, but with the pandemic, so getting out to see places like Vancouver or even down to ourselves. I mean, at least we're driving distance here in Toronto, but to be able to meet people is going to be a challenge, I'm sure. When do you think we might get to see you?
Well, kind of as soon as possible. In fact, myself and Ethan talked about that yesterday, so she's very kindly agreed to host a socially distanced meeting with the organizations there, the arts organizations there. So we'll schedule that as soon as possible, and I'll be down very, very quickly, you know.
Does it surprise you when you go to the different countries, the amount of organizations that you see of Irish heritage and culture?
You put your finger on something there. I mean, you can't go anywhere without finding some Irish roots, and even in Korea, amazing Irish tradition there of the Columban fathers and sisters. The GAA, the Seoul Gaels, were fantastic as a kind of a new iteration of the Irish presence there. Even in Israel, you know, there's a background of Irish people there. You know, so listen, anywhere you go, you're going to find Irish people with an influence, and it's always been a good influence. You know, they've been, you know, missionaries, and they've been political figures, they've been rebels, you know, but they've always, or cultural figures, and they've always made a great contribution. So, yeah, listen, anywhere I've been, I've found some Irish connections, you know, and Irish, sort of an Irish heritage. And in fact, one of the highlights of my time in Korea was uncovering the great Irish contribution in the Korean War with the Royal Ulster Rifles, you know, and they were critically involved in the defense of Seoul and things that had been forgotten by the Koreans and indeed by ourselves, you know. And that outreach to the Irish soldiers who fought under a UN flag but in the Royal Ulster Rifles was tremendous. We brought the veterans over for the first time since the war had ended, and they were fantastic. But that recovery of that tradition actually was only possible because of the peace process and the rapprochement between Britain and Ireland, the kind of concord that we enjoyed as a result of the peace process, you know. But yeah, it's always, listen, all of our my foreign affairs colleagues, when we go abroad, the first thing you do is you find the Irish connection, and it's never wanting, you know.
Ambassador, it's Mark here again. When you of course you've got it's not just Canada under your portfolio, you've got the Bahamas and Jamaica. When you kind of carve up the, if you want to call the pie chart, your time or focus, how do you kind of allocate in that way to these other responsibilities? Is Canada 80% and the other two kind of 10 and 10, or are there other challenges in those areas that might be cause for no? It's actually 33 each.
Well, you know, it's very hard to say, because sometimes, you know, you're working on a project that will kind of ripen and mature, and you devote time to that, you know. I think from my point of view, it's very difficult to say, because at this stage, and I was saying to my colleagues, John, the deputy head of mission, and Laura Findlay, our other officer in the embassy, what we need to do, certainly what I need to do, is map what are all our interests. So it's one thing to read briefing notes and all of that, but let's map what we have here. And let's figure out what we want to achieve under each of the different kind of headings: economic, political, diaspora, culture. And I would do that too for the Bahamas and Jamaica. So I think it's really mapping and taking stock, and that's kind of the phase we're in now. With my arrival here, we take stock and we figure out what I want to do here over the next few years. We also, as you know, have a Canada-US strategy, so we'd be looking to achieve things there. So it really depends on what we figure is the best use of our resources. But certainly, you know, there's a great Irish community in both the Bahamas and Jamaica. Great history of the Irish in Jamaica as well. So tragic in some ways, of course, as you know, with the history of slavery and the exploitation of sugar and so on. But listen, it's hard to say until we map it and see what we can do. And like all of these things, you kind of follow the energy. You know, there's a project out there that kind of excites people and you think you can get things done, you know. But at the end of the day, an embassy can only really put people together. And I think that's how things happen. You know, if you put people together, projects will come out. You can't kind of impose stuff. Do you know what I mean? You have to kind of connect people. So one of the things, one of the innovations we brought in into the department, and we're doing it in Canada, we've got a contact and event management system. So we're putting everybody on, all our contacts on that system. And that means we can see where people are, what areas they're interested in. We can send them newsletters. You know, it'll be a real tool for us to outreach to our contacts because, you know, the assets of an embassy and a consulate are the people we work with and the people who want to be with us. And very often that is the Irish community, but very often it's the affinity community, people who don't have an Irish connection but love Ireland. And sometimes it's just the people you work with, you know. So it really is, it's about networking people and then things happen, you know.
Well, having been to Ottawa in January and February, I would encourage you to time those hands-on projects in Jamaica and Bahamas for around that time of year and lock yourself down over there.
Yeah, well, there are some cynics out there who say the Bahamas and Jamaica were deliberately linked in with Canada to give you a bit of midwinter relief. So I won't comment on that.
You're not the first ambassador that we've made that comment to, for what it's worth.
Say no, yeah. No, people have put their fight through on me about the Canadian winter, I can tell you.
Mark, can I jump in just for one moment?
Absolutely.
Ambassador, we've been really amazed by the outreach of the Irish government to the diaspora. I mean, I think it's unprecedented. I don't know any other country that has done what Ireland has done for its people abroad. And, you know, we hope that can continue, especially during the last 6 months. We've had grants for voucher programs, for greeting cards to seniors. It's been quite amazing. I'm sure Ireland is suffering, obviously is, as much if not more than we are at the moment. Can we hope that outreach will continue?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you're absolutely right. I mean, in fact, when I was in Washington back in the day in 1990, myself and who's Brendan Scannell, who's the political director, we put together the first immigrant support program for funding. So it goes back to those days. Inspired by the program of support we had for Irish immigrants in England at the time. So it's developed since then, and the support has been huge for the immigrant community abroad. And it's developed, as you know, Kieran Cannon was our Minister for State, and he was very, very keen and enthusiastic. We have a new Minister of State for the Diaspora, Brophy. Minister Brophy, as you know, has been doing a huge amount of outreach to all of the Irish communities around the world. He's been dogged in front of his screen, be seen with the world literally and connecting with the Irish community, and that shows his personal commitment to this. But yeah, I can absolutely assure you that the Irish government's commitment to the diaspora is there, and that's going to continue and to develop, I'd say, you know. I think we are, Ethan, I think you're right, we are one of the leading countries in terms of developing that relationship, and I think the strength of it is the fact that it's a two-way relationship, you know. But yeah, and it's great to see that recognition of the Irish immigrant tradition, you know, because you know the history of Irish immigration, it's not always easy, you know. It's a tough history for people, you know. You go back to, you know, even how the Irish arrived in Canada. I mean, these are appalling circumstances, but ultimately they are triumphant in a way, you know. But yeah, that's great to see, and it's been a huge development in the last over the last 30 years or so. But yeah, absolutely, there's a very strong commitment to the Irish abroad, you know.
Well, it's been really amazing to hear the response of the young Irish people when we reach out to them and tell them that the Irish government is thinking about them and they're the ones responsible for, you know, when we send out the food vouchers to them. So many of them have been really touched that they're not forgotten just because, and these are the young people, just because they've left home.
Sure.
So it's lovely.
Yeah, yeah. And you could see that as well in the response to the COVID pandemic when, you know, we repatriated thousands of people. My colleagues in embassies and consulates around the world did an amazing job tracing people, getting them home, you know, or if they weren't coming home, making sure that they were safe and well. And I don't think any other country mounted as effective an outreach to their diaspora communities. You know, we really have the kind of the esprit de corps is kind of leave no one behind. I mean, remember years ago there was an unfortunate case of an Irish citizen who got lost in a Chilean national park, and one of our diplomats joined the search team. You know, and so, you know, we really do go the extra mile. And but it's again, it's a tribute to my colleagues in particularly in the United States and in Canada, you know, that the commitment they have, it's not even work. It's just it's a real sense of community, you know, and it really is a highlight of our postings abroad, that engagement, you know, something that stays with us, you know.
Terrific. Thank you.
Ambassador, we certainly appreciate your time coming on the program, and we're delighted to have you on to be able to say hello to the listeners and the community. And I can tell you that the emails and texts are coming in here wishing you and your family the very best. And in particular, maybe make a point of our Gerry O'Connor, our Irish Person of the Year, was one of the first in to wish you well, and I'm sure you'll get to meet a lot of folks as you get on your travels. But we certainly appreciate your time that you've given us this morning.
Yeah, listen, my pleasure. A great opportunity, and it's a great show. I know, as Edna said to me yesterday, you know, your show is one of the kind of sources of community glue, as it were, and people really appreciate what you've done. I think it's a really important platform. So it's really my pleasure to join you this morning. And anytime you need me to come on, just give me a call, and I'd be delighted to join you. You know, so thanks very much for the opportunity, and great to chat with Edna again, and yourself, Ken and Mark. So my pleasure indeed. I look forward to getting to meet you all face to face, hopefully in the not too distant.
Yeah, we look forward to that, and I can't wait to get on and start reading some of your blogs. You're a real history buff, and you'll have some history to write here after this pandemic, that's for sure.
indeed, yeah.
Very
thanks
good.
Ambassador McKee, look great. Forward to meeting
thank
you,
very much.
And the best of luck.
Great, thank you very much.
All
have
the best.
A great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Slán.
Slán.
Have you seen the old man in the closed-down market kicking up the papers with his worn-out shoes? In his eyes you see no pride, hand held loosely by his side, they're yesterday's papers telling yesterday's news. Have you seen the old girl walks the streets of London, dirt in her hair and her clothes in rags? She's no time for talking, she just keeps right on walking, carrying her home in two carrier bags. And then how can you tell me you're lonely, or say that for you the sun won't shine? Let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London. I will show you something to make you change your mind. In the all-night cafe at 11:15, same old man sitting there on his own, looking at the world over the rim of his teacup. Each tea lasts an hour, then he wanders home alone. Oh, And have you seen the old man outside the seaman's mission? His memory fading like the ribbons that he wears. And in this winter city, the rain cries a little pity for one more forgotten hero in a world that doesn't care. And then how can you tell me you're lonely, or say that for you the sun won't shine? Let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London. I will show you something to make you change your mind. How can you tell me you're lonely, or say that for you the sun won't shine? Let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London. I will show you something to make you change your mind.
I'll tell you, the fingers are going there on that particular track there, and I'm delighted to have the man behind the composition there. That's Don Kavanagh's latest, and it's off second solo album of Graham Lindsay. Mark, we're going back to Ottawa, except this lad is not in he's not in lockdown at all. He's on his way to work, and he's created the time for us in our little segment here where we like to promote local artists. It's Graham Lindsay on the line. Graham, you're very welcome to Keologus Pack.
Thank you very much. Great to see you guys, or hear you guys, I should say.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to see us on a Saturday morning. We don't do the Zoom video thing, Graham, very well, you know.
We use the excuse of Wi-Fi bandwidth to mask it a little bit, Graham. So it works. It's a perfect excuse for the radio.
Wonderful. And don't even have to wear pants. This is wonderful. I should say I'm sitting in a car outside a building, so I definitely am.
Good man. Good. Yeah. Good to know. We also played one of the tracks, your compositions off the top. Shack Wacky. I love the title of that track. Maybe give us a little bit of information around it, Graham.
Well, Shack Wacky is it's a set of three tunes, and the third one is actually the tune called Shack Wacky. It's one I actually I wrote because a friend of mine checked in partway through the pandemic, about probably 2 or 3 months in, you know, when we were all going a little stir crazy. And she said, "So are you Shack Wacky?" And, you know, of course, you know, the answer was the only thing you could say is, "Yeah, I'm totally Shack Wacky." and the other two tunes in that were called the Almont Celt Fest Jig. And that's for a Celtic festival that's in the Ottawa area. It's about 45 minutes, perhaps, west of Ottawa. And I've been involved with them for many years. And they went online this year. I put that tune out the day they announced they had to cancel the festival this year. So just trying to keep spirits high. And then another one called Starting From Scratch, which I wrote for friends who are part of, I'm not sure if you guys have heard of Home Roots, the organized house concerts touring musicians.
No, I haven't. No, I haven't heard that.
A great organization. Obviously, house concerts can't happen right now because of COVID. But for decades, they've been working on house concerts for touring musicians, like I said, across Canada, and they've got tours in every province. And I called it Starting From Scratch because we're all completely starting from scratch, having to reimagine everything.
Yeah, you know, we've as I was saying here, we do have this segment where, you know, we have local artists and those kind of even starting out in the music business, and then suddenly this pandemic hits and live gigging is such a huge part. You must be missing it yourself. Have you done anything on Facebook or on social media to keep you going through the pandemic?
Short answer is absolutely. Because my job is in communications and I run a multimedia company producing websites and doing video production. Through Home Roots, I actually I had to do a quick 2-paragraph bio, and I realized when they said, you know, just tell us about your you know what you've done, and I realized I've been streaming video since 1998. So it's I've made a lot of friends during the pandemic, because every musician needs to do live streaming to continue playing music, because in person certainly at the beginning wasn't possible. So I've actually run a Celtic session. It was a biweekly session that started in early April and ran every 2 weeks through most of until midsummer, and then I realized it's more work to get people out, and they're already able to start playing with other people physically distanced in you know backyards and whatnot. So the need for it wasn't as great, but I suspect you know through the fall and winter I'll be doing that again. And I have had the pleasure of playing with two young fiddlers, and one's a fiddler banjo player and does step dancing in the west end of Ottawa, and plug them for a bit here. Fern and Willow are a great young duo, and I've had the chance to busk with them at the local farmers market where they live. So that's been a great opportunity for to keep my sanity, I'll say, or try.
Oh, fair play to you. And as we mentioned, your second solo album is called The Next Best Thing, and people can get that obviously from your website. But I just wanted to touch on it. you produced all of this and recorded all of this through the pandemic, and you had a slew of musicians, 15 different musicians in 3 countries, 5 time zones, and 8 cities. That's something to pull off.
It was a lot of fun. It was a challenge. It was sort of a challenge, but I would say it's not. Well, I mean, everything's a challenge in the pandemic. It was a time crunch for me because of my work in communications. I didn't have a whole lot of time, and on day one of the pandemic, which was the day before St. Patrick's Day, on the 16th of March, I said, "Oh well, I guess I'm going to have a lot of spare time. So why don't I just do an album?" And then I committed to a few friends, and then when I realized I'm getting really busy here, unmanageably busy. And I realized, well, you know what? I've committed to these guys. I can't let them down. I can't go back on my word. So I still continued to create the album. But then I involved some really great friends and great people. I really, with my first solo album, which is called Tradhead, TRAD. So Tradhead, of course. It involved mostly my band, and then I went out to a few other people and created a few different vibes with the different groups that played. With this album, I wanted to keep that same concept, go to a collection of different people and involve really great friends and outstanding musicians. So we've got representation from there's a band called The Ducks, and they're not touring anymore, but Leonard Podolak's part of that. April Virch is a wonderful bluegrass player. She's living in the States right now, but she's from the Ottawa Valley. The guitarist on the album is from Ten Strings and a Goatskin, which is a very popular band from PEI. Carol Bestvater is a fiddler with all sorts of different bands in Newfoundland. We have representation from the band Coig and so much more. And that's just the Canadian contingent.
Very good. And the track we're going to play is the title track, The Next Best Thing. And it's performed by The Small Glories.
Yeah.
What's their story?
Well, they actually, before they became The Small Glories, they did a house concert at my house and a bunch of others. But I'm good friends with Kara Luft and JD Edwards, who are the two people behind The Small Glories. And when it came time to possibly record something, I thought there's no better person, people, duo, anything to have than these guys. They give it the energy that we would need. Also on the album, or on that track rather, I should say, there's April Virch and Joe Phillips, who's an amazing bass player from London, Ontario. He's just one of my favorite musicians all around, and he plays the upright bass. And the track is produced by Ian Foster, who lives in Newfoundland. So that was a cool way to produce a track while not actually seeing Ian. We've hung out, and that's great, but we haven't actually seen each other during the pandemic, because he lives a time zone and a half away.
Right. Yes. A little tricky.
Mm-hmm.
Graham, who are some of the artists out there that perhaps maybe in the last year have hit your radar and are still below the general radar at the moment that you would say, watch out, these guys are good?
That's a great question. Wow. I do have trouble thinking of things, certain artists if they're not front of mind. So
yeah,
I'm going to defer. Like the Small Glories are, I think they're the people on the album who, if you're involved in the Canadian folk music scene,
yeah,
you'll have heard of them, and you'll right. know they're amazing. If you haven't, if you're like, I'm fairly invested in the folk music scene, the folk music world. Yeah. But I'm also a trad head. And if, yeah, so the trad world doesn't really know about them, but they're outstanding. They've got a number of albums out, and I think they're up to 3. The last album got 3 Canadian Folk Music Awards, and they're absolutely outstanding.
I hope I didn't miss this, but have you spent any meaningful amount of time in Ireland at all?
I've never been, and I'm very sorry. And I will address that as soon as I possibly can.
You're going to have to fix that, and we'll help you fix that for sure.
I'll commit to that.
Yeah.
Ken, Ken comes from a part of Ireland up in the northwest where traditional Irish music is vibrant, alive and well, and we certainly can send you, we can certainly put you in the right direction, but you could pretty much stop anywhere along the west coast of Ireland and you'll be very welcome with your skills. In fact, that goes for the east coast and all over Ireland, but particularly on the west coast, I would say.
Well, as a Lindsay, my understanding is that my family's from Sligo and Mayo, so I would have to make those stops.
Very good.
You're talking to a Sligo man there in Ken, so you're not far off.
There we go.
That's it. Brilliant. And we've had a few texts in saying that they're delighted that we have Graham Lindsay and not Lindsay Graham on the program here this morning. So
we're slightly different in our political background, perhaps.
Yeah.
Yes, when your name is Google, he does come up first. So you got to trump that, right?
Yes.
Excuse
the use of Trump.
As a person who does website development, you know, you sometimes do Google yourself. And at the beginning, I definitely came up first. And then it was about, probably 5 or 6 years ago, the other one, we'll call him, started becoming more prominent. And yes, I'm not him. I'm guessing his albums aren't as much fun.
No.
They would also be orange, though. So.
Graham, we appreciate you taking the time out this morning, and we know you've got commitments coming up here shortly. But it's been a real pleasure to chat to you, and please stay in touch. I've certainly thoroughly enjoyed your album. I know Mark has as well, and I think that our listeners will. So maybe just give out the proper website that people can get your CD, and I'm assuming too probably on all the other platforms as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's available, like most albums are these days, on all the streaming platforms. If you just search Graham Lindsay, and my last name is spelled with an EY, you can go to grahamlindsay.com, or the faster one, the easier one to remember, is probably tradhead.ca. So tradhead.ca. That is the name of my first album, but it was a pretty great website address. So that'll direct you right to my store, but you can get to the rest of my website, have a listen to some tunes. And if you did want to buy it, it's available there, both albums. And I've got two tune books out actually as well with the tunes from the first album.
That's brilliant, Graham. Again, thanks a million for taking the time. We're going to play The Small Glories and the title of your second album, The Next Best Thing. We look forward to chatting to you in the future, Graham.
Cheers, guys. Thanks so much for the fun.
Thanks a million. All the best.
You too.
Always run into the next best thing. Never know what tomorrow brings. Let the chorus and the choir sing. Always run into the next best thing. One, two, three, four. Always run into the next best thing. Never know what tomorrow may bring. Let the chorus and the choir sing. Always run into the next best thing. Vile deadlines on my plate. Another meeting and a coffee date. Keep it coming, I feel great. No time for slowing down. Stuck in Ireland at the gate. One more. Running to the next best thing. Never know what tomorrow may bring. Let the chorus and the choir sing. Always run into the next best thing. Made for supper. Just fought around. Hey!
I didn't sleep at all last night, I stayed up till the dawn, banging out the jigs and reels till everyone had gone, singing some old shut-eyed songs I hadn't sung for years, knocking back the brandy and the beer. Back across the ocean to my home away from home, I'm glad to be returning but sad to have to go. I'd like to find a way to be two places at one time, but it's easy going back again, but it's hard to say goodbye. I had one bag too many just as I was set to leave. I was loaded down with bacon and with sausages and tea, and I couldn't find my ticket as I'm walking out the door, till I emptied all my bags out on the floor. Back across the ocean to my home away from home, I'm glad to be returning but sad to have to go. I'd like to find a way to be two places at one time, but it's easy going back again, but it's hard to say goodbye. On board the plane I sipped a drink while waiting for the meal, just trying not to let my head know how my stomach feels. There's a baby right behind me making sure that I won't sleep, and the flight's too full to find another seat. Back across the ocean to my home away from home, I'm glad to be returning but sad to have to go. I'd like to find a way to be two places at one time, but it's easy going back again, but it's hard to say goodbye. I fell asleep at last just as the plane is touching down, and I aged in years while waiting for the bags to come around. And I make it home at last and I'm barely unpacked when I'm already making plans to go again. Back across the ocean to my home away from home, I'm glad to be returning but sad to have to go. I'd like to find a way to be two places at one time, but it's easy going back again, but it's hard to say goodbye. Back across the ocean to my home away from home, I'm glad to be returning but sad to have to go. I'd like to find a way to be two places at one time, but it's easy going back again, but it's hard to say goodbye.
When you think of Irish tradition, what comes to mind? Live music, great hospitality, and a pub atmosphere of laughter and song imported from the Emerald Isle itself. And one of Ireland's greatest imports is the Keane family, serving up the finest fare and crack this side of County Galway since 1991 at the Galway Arms. The family-owned pub has been charming patrons since, well, last century, and as a result attracts some of the GTA's greatest Irish characters. Known far and wide for its chef-designed menu and traditional Irish music, it's also Toronto's home of Gaelic games live from Ireland on the big screens. You can like them on Facebook, and you're sure to like them in person. Visit thegalwayarms.ca to view daily specials. The Galway Arms, your home away from home, and not too far from home at 838 the Queen Way in Etobicoke. Call 416-251-0096. Make a date and make it for the Galway Arms.
Yes, indeed. Get in there and see the folks there. The Keane family would love to have you visit and make sure that you reserve your table. And right, well, before that ad there, I played Mr. Sean Keane, another good friend of the program, home away from home. And I had a message from our pal Johnny Broderick, Mark, during the week, and he wanted us to let everybody know that You know, we were just talking to Graham Lindsay there about streaming and stuff. Well, Sean is doing his first concert, and it's a streamed concert. Now, the tickets are limited to 400 on this, but it is tonight at 8 p.m. Irish time. And he's doing this online concert, and it's streamed live from the Town Hall Theatre in Galway. So if folks, tickets are only €10. It's a bargain to see Sean Keane right from your living room, isn't it?
It is, absolutely.
So you can tune in.
Cheapest you'll ever see him, Kenny.
Well, I'd say so. Definitely. So that's the Town Hall Theatre. Go online, check out Sean Keane's website, and if you're lucky enough, you might get one of the remaining tickets for that concert. That'll sell out really quickly. There's a bunch of other concerts, too, that we should let people know about. We'll do that in the Guinness Calendar of Events as well. But on the line right now, Mark, a little surprise guest for everybody. Always a pleasure having this lady on the programme, Cathy Murphy of ICANN. And a big congratulations, Cathy, for getting nominated here at the Toronto Star. Good morning to you.
Good morning, gents. Thanks for having me on.
Well, you're very welcome. Tell us and tell the listeners about this this nomination. We know we were all getting in and getting the fingers going on the website to try and help you out getting nominated. And it seems you've made the final.
Yeah, we're down to the top three for Best Learning Center, and that's across Canada. And these are the Toronto Star Readers' Choice Awards. So folks have until October the 11th to vote, and we've got that up on our website and on all of our social media accounts if people want to just log on to those. And I will say, interestingly, you all know that we're known as ICANN. We are listed as the Irish Canadian Immigration Center because, would you believe it, in the top three, there's a center called ICANN Education. So don't vote for the wrong one.
And are they up against you as well in the same category?
They're up against us. Oh, just the for three goodness of us. Isn't sake. That madness? But oh. When you log in, it's very, very simple. And you'll see Irish Canadian Immigration Center. They took out dear old Eamon's name just because it's such a long title. But it's easy to spot us on there. And obviously, we'd be really grateful if people could vote just one more time and maybe get us over the finish line.
Is this one of the cases that you can vote early and vote often, Cathy?
Do you know what? It was with the round of initial nominations. With this one, you can only vote once. You have to register and enter your email address, which is, it's probably a more democratic way of doing it, to be fair.
Yes, yes, yes.
I just got me vote in there. We're good. And it's quite intuitive when you get in there and you can see that it's very obvious who to vote for here, Cathy. So you're good to go. And congratulations. That is absolutely amazing. So well done.
And thank you like so much.
It wasn't like you didn't have stiff competition to get this far. So really well done. Well done.
Well, I mean, I'd love to take the opportunity to obviously thank our amazing team across Canada. You know now that we have two staff members in Vancouver and obviously our awesome volunteers. And without a doubt, our board of directors, because it takes a team, right? And the community who supported us.
Brilliant.
That's fantastic, right. Cathy. Did you want to give any names out at all and in specifics to those that are involved in this particular program?
Well, the chair of our board is Dermot Muir, and he is a tremendous leader and has been chairing the board for a number of years. And he brings such intuition and intelligence to his leadership, and it's a joy for me to report to him. And then the team, if I could do a quick shout out, obviously our tremendous admin, Tara Murphy, Michal O'Rourke, who is our national social care advisor, promoted from Toronto social care advisor to national. And then out in the West, we have Eilish Courtney as our ICANN band client liaison out there, and Gillian Goulding, who is our Vancouver social care representative. So what an awesome team. And I think we all know that Jerry O'Connor is our core volunteer. And we also have many other volunteers who serve the community so beautifully.
Brilliant. Well said. And Cathy, just let's remind people where to go again to get the vote in.
I think the easiest thing, well, you can just Google Toronto Star Readers' Choice Awards. And if you're having any trouble, just hop onto our website. It's irishcdn.org. And we've got it posted on our news page.
Wonderful. You're going to be away for a week, are you? Is that what you were telling me? You're taking a little break?
I am. I'm going away to a cottage for a week, and I'm going to unplug entirely. All devices off.
Good for you. Well, listen, enjoy it. The week looks lovely with sunshine, so I hope you have a great time.
Thank you so very much.
And we'll do a weekly reminder here on the run-up to the October 11th deadline, just to make sure this is top of mind for our listeners. But congratulations. Hopefully this, hopefully it all falls your way. It's brilliant.
We're grateful to you, gentlemen.
All right. Thanks, Kathy.
Thanks, Kathy.
Bye-bye.
All the best.
You took me right back to the start. Oh, she done a number on you. She really broke your heart. All you want to know now is how I do it.
Yeah, there she is, the wee woman from County Tyrone, Philomena Begley. Mark, lovely little
Super.
Song there, huh? Affectionately known as the Queen of Country, and do you know she used to work in a hat factory before she made it to the big time? Did you know that?
I did not know that Philomena Begley worked in a hat factory, Kent. I didn't have that tidbit of info.
I think I might have seen you wearing some of her hats once in a while.
Yeah, it's quite possible. I have been known to don the other one.
Good man.
Kenny, a belter of a game going on. It was looking dark and gloomy there for Leinster at halftime. They were down 22-3, completely out of the game and being outplayed. Well, they've come storming back, and it's now 22-17 to Saracens. And so there's probably about 10 minutes left in the game. But anyway, a great response. Jordan Larimer got over for a try in the last few minutes there, in the last 6 or 7 minutes, and Andrew Porter had a try that they converted as well. So they're down by 5 points with about 10 minutes to go. So that's a bit of an update over there. So it sounds like a great game is going on. And after a very shaky start, Shane Lowry started with a bogey and a triple bogey. He was +4 after two holes. Well, he's come back with a couple of birdies, and he's only 2 over par in his round now, which actually is turning out to be a reasonable performance. Just some of the scores that are being posted here are absolutely incredible. Most players that are on the golf course, there isn't a single core. There is one player under par so far today, Alex Noren from Sweden. Everybody else is either over par or just starting their round and at even par. So tough day at the office for those lads today.
Yeah, it makes them look a little more human, a bit more like ourselves maybe out there hacking it around, you know.
I think that's why I like the US. It's why it's my favorite, is because I ignore the fact that they're playing the toughest golf course in the world. And it just, I see them posting 80s and 81s and 82s. And it's like, oh, yeah, I guess they're I'm nearly as good as they are.
Yeah, indeed. I saw Rory hit a bomb of a drive yesterday, maybe 340 yards or whatever it was. It was an incredible drive. And his chip shot came up short of the green. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not suggesting that I would bomb a drive 340 yards, but I've left a lot of chip shots short. And I thought, sure, look it. If Rory can do it, I shouldn't get so mad, maybe in the out there on the golf course.
And we also have, I know we have quite a few Tipperary listeners. Mullen O'Hone have just claimed victory in the Tipperary Senior Hurling Final. Young Owen Kelly, I'll call him that. He's 38 years of age. Owen Kelly scored 2-5, and Mullen O'Hone have beaten a well-named town called Laura Dura in Tipperary. Anyway, a big victory there. 418 to 219 was the final score in Thurles in the Tipperary County Final there in hurling. So big win there for the lads from Mullen O'Hone.
Fair play to them. That's great. I just wanted to give a little mention out. I don't know if you recognize the singer there before Philomena Begley, and if this name might ring a bell. Brona Gallagher. Do you know her?
Ooh, I don't. That surname is a good one, though.
Ah, yeah. Now, you'd know her now when I tell you now. She was in The Commitments.
Oh.
Yeah. So she was one of the singers in The Commitments. She's from Derry, and That song there now is one of her latest tracks there, Truth or Dare. And Brona, I didn't realize this, but she was in Star Wars and she was also in Pulp Fiction. And it was only till I was reading about it there that I kind of remembered her in that film. I enjoyed that film, but she's been in tons and tons of films. But she has a great singing career. And one of the reasons I was playing her is she also does a great cover of one of Van Morrison's songs there in this whole Hot Press rave on. So if you haven't checked that out yet, I would suggest that you should do so. I believe this weekend there's some live stuff going on to kind of wrap this whole rave on thing and the celebration of Van's 75th birthday. Sinead O'Connor and a few other folks are playing. I think it's Sunday night, but check out the Hot Press website and certainly enjoy some of the covers that 75 different Irish artists are doing of 75 Van Morrison songs. And brilliant altogether. And Brona does a wonderful job of one of Van's songs too.
Whoever came up with that, it was absolutely ingenious. So super. Anyway, so Brona has one of the tunes. That's great.
She does. Okay, well, look, if we'll play maybe a little track here. This fella I've played a couple of weeks ago, Porrick Jack. He's from the Iron Islands, lives in Oranmore now, and he's got some new songs out, and this is one of his. It's called Mini. He writes both in Irish and in English, and he's a singer-songwriter. As I say, from the Galway region here. So here's his latest track called Mini.
Minnie ever lived her life out loud with her sunshades on, ever singing a song. Minnie married to a middle-aged man, didn't marry for love, she was happy enough. She said, "Yoo-hoo, am I doing it right?" I said, "Minnie, yoo-hoo, we're a shining light." Minnie drives with a bright smile on, lets her curls hang down, they speak volumes of fun. Honest eyes complied in a lie, she was incomplete, starting to die. She said, "Oh, oh, am I doing it right?" I said, "Minnie, you've got to set things right." And as we drank some wine and watched the sun go down in the back room, Minnie said what she had to say. Now her husband's gone, he didn't touch her anyway. Single mom reignites her spark, Minnie's holding strong, her noose is gone. She said, "Ooh, ooh, I can feel it again." A new woman, she said, "Need not pretend anymore." And like white-eyed teens, we set up was a step too far. I couldn't see what we had been, just a fling run thing, but I had set the scene. I said, I can commit to this. She said, after two nights, we can just be friends. As the Galway sky, let the sun pass by in silence. We drank our last red wine in the night's moonlight and said goodbye. And Minnie's happy now. She found love somehow.
Yeah, beautiful sound there. Pádraic Jack from the Aran Islands and making his home now in Oranmore and Galway. But lovely song there, one of his new ones called Minnie. And we have another man now on the line calling in from New York, originally from Dublin. And much to Mark's surprise, it's not Ken Griffey Jr., the baseball player. It's Ken Griffin, the musician. Ken, you're very welcome to Keologus Crack.
So do you need me to leave? I can start looking up online baseball statistics to find.
I don't think our listeners are interested in us talking to Ken Griffey Jr. I think they'd find you far more interesting, Ken Griffin.
Oh yeah, I'm sure I have a much more interesting life than Ken Griffey Jr.
Ken, you're making your home in you're making your home in New York, originally from Dublin. Whereabouts in Dublin?
Kind of all over the place. My parents are both from the inner city in Dublin, like near the Guinness factory, basically. And then I grew up in Dundrum.
Ah, very good.
In Dublin. But I've been here. I've been in New York for 25 years, so.
Right, yeah.
I'm not sure I'm going to stay, though. Still haven't made my mind.
Well, how did you tell us about the journey there? Like, how did you intend to go for 25 years? Or were you like myself and Ken, and you said you'd go and try something new here for a couple of years and just never went back?
I mean, I don't even know if I was thinking a week ahead. I had a record contract at the time, and it was a pretty good one. It was with Warner Brothers with a band called Roller Skate Skinny, and we, so that's what brought me over here was just basically because I could. I could come here, and at that time, Dublin was pretty grim. Like, there wasn't much opportunity. The music scene wasn't very strong. So I just decided to give it a go in New York. And yeah, it's kind of weird. New York is so satisfying on so many levels. It was kind of like 10 years went by without me even lifting my head up. You know, it was like, it was very strange. But yeah, you just find yourself. I think everybody I talk to here is planning to leave. You know, it's just a weird city because it really takes. It's like jumping in a river every day, you know. Just, and now with this whole COVID thing, it's like it's kind of feels like it did in the mid '90s or early '90s. Because so many people have left.
Yeah.
So the crazies have taken back the corners. It's definitely got a vibe about it now, the East Village, that it hasn't had in years. But
So before COVID kicked in, Ken, tell us a little bit about your gigging around the city. Did you predominantly kind of stay in the New York area and get popular in that area, or do you kind of venture further afield and do an awful lot? Did you do a lot of traveling?
Well, actually, the last 5 years have been great. We've gone back to Ireland at least 3 times a year. And we'd go to Germany and England. It's actually, now there's a network of gigs in Ireland that was never there before. Like, we'd go back and play like 15 or 20 dates, you know, each time. So even the smallest, like my favorite venue in the whole of Ireland is in a town called Ballydehob in West Cork. It's in this place called Leavis's, and it was a grocery store on one side and a bar on the other.
Mm-hmm.
And the audience stands in the middle and you play behind the bar. And there's just people hanging out the rafters and stuff. It's just a great venue. It hasn't changed in 100 years. It was owned by two sisters. But I go back to, unfortunately, this year, obviously, I haven't gone back, but I tend to go back to Ireland 3 or 4 times a year. So, because we get a lot of radio play over there and tend to get a lot of press and stuff. So it's funny, I have a career going over there. So I live in New York because I'm really smart.
Ken is from Sligo here, and I see that you played in places like Tricky's, McGarrigle's up in Sligo.
Yeah.
I don't live too far from Kilkenny, and I know John Clear's bar down there. So you're playing in some great spots there, I have to say.
I love those three venues you mentioned. I really like Clear's in Kilkenny is fantastic.
Yeah.
I had a guy there the last time I was playing there. He said he came up to me and he said, "My son has real difficulty sleeping." He's like 3 or 4 or something. And he said, the only time I can get him asleep is when I play him one of your songs here in the wild. So he was a dentist and he offered me free dental work because I helped him get his kid asleep.
So, nice.
Mad what music can do. You know?
It is indeed. And this project, Ken, your August Wells, your partner in crime on this one is John Rochenberger. How did you meet?
Yeah. We met just through mutual friends, and I had hung out with him for a couple of years, and I didn't even know he played music. And I went to his house, and there was a piano there, and he started playing. I was like, I didn't even know you played piano. And we just started playing together a couple of times a week, and it just had a particular sound that I really liked. So I think we started 7 years ago. So, yeah, me and him, just we do everything. And most of the shows we do, we just play as a two-piece. Occasionally, we bring a French horn and a bass, but we don't play with a drummer, so it's got an odd feel to it.
Right, and are you writing all your own music, Ken?
Oh, yeah, it's all original. Don't do any cover versions. Jesus, there's so many songs, like, you know, don't have room for other people's songs.
Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah, and you have a couple of albums already under your belt. A Living and Dying Game.
Our third one's coming out in October. We've done three albums.
So that's clearly recorded during the pandemic, and was it all written as well through the pandemic?
No, it wasn't. But looking back at it, it's kind of strange how applicable a lot of the lyrics are to this situation, just unintentionally. Just, you know, for me, just with all the tension that's going on in America, it was just. You could see something coming, obviously not this pandemic, but there's just, I was going to say something in the air, I didn't mean it to sound, all right, but there was definitely a feeling of tension coming up to this election, so I did write from that perspective a lot.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't actually write any of the lyrics during the pandemic, it was all recorded before that.
Ah, right, okay. Okay, but the theme running through the album then is American society. Is it? Is that one way to describe it?
It's just an individual at a certain time in their life, and the kind of you can feel the kind of paranoia bubbling up, and just that reaction to everyday life of the idea of the American dream and how it's like we're waking up from the American dream and realizing that it was just about money all along. And now we've got like a civil duty that's very different to that. Our responsibility is beyond just accumulating wealth. You know, now it's about we have to help each other.
Well,
so
said.
Just try to write about that perspective about what are we really doing as opposed to what we think we're doing.
Right. Interesting topic. Yeah. Very good. Well said. And the new single is No More Operators, which I'm going to play right now. And is that the title of the new album as well?
It is, yes. It is the title of the new album.
Excellent. Folks can get that album, I suppose, on all the regular platforms.
Yeah, and we're encouraging people to go to Bandcamp. If you just put in August Wells Bandcamp, because Bandcamp, I think, do the fairest deal for the musicians.
Oh, okay, good.
They've actually dealt with this whole COVID thing really responsibly. I think they just actually give bands an opportunity to make, you know, to make themselves a bit of a living. Whereas you can just disappear on a lot of the other platforms, you know, so.
Yeah.
Don't get me started on those other platforms.
Well,
you might as well put your record under a pillow, you know.
Right. Well, folks, there you heard it. You heard it from Ken himself. Go to Bandcamp and type in August Wells and keep an eye out for the new album, No More Operators. We look forward to the album coming out, Ken, and we're going to play your track here, No More Operators, right now. And appreciate you taking the time this morning to have a chat with us.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, guys. Pleasure.
Great to chat to you.
All right.
Okay.
Keep out.
Stay in touch. All right,
lads. Take care, guys.
Cheers. Here is, we're going to play the new song from August Wells and No More Operators.
Daylight lies there on my floor, inside of my hungry door. If I can hide away in your darkness, you can curl up in mine. Reach out and close each other's crying eyes, count to three and let go of time. 'Cause if there is one thing on which we both agree, I don't like most people, and most people, they don't like me. I am the morning, you are the evening, and our love is the afternoon. If you come back soon, we're gonna make it a night. A thousand times your wage, it can all start to seem like a joke. So if I can get a taste of your wisdom, you can help yourself to all mine. Five little words for your safekeeping, it's how you spend your time. 'Cause if there is one thing on which we're both agreed, I don't like most people, and most people don't like you or me. I am the morning, you are the evening, and our love is the afternoon. If you come back soon, we're gonna make it a night. Thank you.
go on a cold, dark night. There was someone killed neath the town hall light. And there were few at the scene, but they all did agree that the man who ran, he looked a lot like me. Now the judge said, son, what is your alibi? 'Cause if you is somewhere else, you won't have to die. But I spoke not a word, although it meant my life, 'cause I had been in the arms of my best friend's wife. She walks these hills in a long black veil. She visits my grave as the night winds wail. Nobody knows, nobody sees, nobody knows. High and eternity's near, and she stands in the crowd and she sheds not a tear. But sometimes at night, when that cold wind blows in a long black veil, she cries over my phone. Hills in a long black veil. She visits my grave as the night winds wail. Nobody knows, nobody sees, nobody knows but
travel far, far from your own native home. Far away o'er the mountains, far away o'er the foam. But of all the fine places that I've I've ever seen. Sure, there's none can compare with the cliffs of Dunedin. Take a view o'er the mountains, fine sights you'll see there. You'll see the high rocky mountains on the west coast of Clare, the towns of Kilkee and Kilrush can be seen. From the high rocky slopes of the cliffs of Dunedin. It's a nice place to be on a fine summer's day, watching all the wildflowers that ne'er do decay, the hare and lofty pheasant are quite plain to be seen, building homes for their young round the cliffs of Dunedin. To all the fine people I'm leaving behind, to the streams and the meadows where late I have been, and the high rocky slopes round the cliffs of Dunedin.
Yes, there you go, a little Paddy Riley and the Cliffs of Dunedin. Mark, have you ever been down to the Cliffs of Dunedin?
I have, Kenny, and it's one of my favourite places, and that's one of my favourite songs, I have to say. I have several favourites, but I'll tell you, that's a beauty. I love
it. Nice. That was written by Jack McAuliffe, and he was from Lixnaw, County Kerry, and... The song, of course, was written about Dunedin Point near Beal Curry in the West. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh, and you'd almost think if you were listening to that, that it was a Clare song. You know, a lot of mentions of Clare in it.
There is a lot of mentions of Clare, but it's definitely Kerry. Yes,
yeah,
that's for sure.
It is. And some sad news coming out of Dublin there, Mark. What's the final score there at Leinster Saracens?
Yeah, unfortunately, Leinster have been defeated 25-17, I think was the final score. They dug themselves too much of a hole, Ken, early on, and were not able to come back. And Saracens, of course, would be a dogged enough team. You best described it to me as, you know, Leinster being loaded with Irish internationals. Well, the Saris have a lot of the English internationals, so... Anyway, which of course a good segue. The Six Nations will be resuming very soon as well, correct?
Yes, October. We're only around the corner, and we'll be back into Six Nations action. So, I suppose that'll mean that the Leinster players now will have a wee bit of a rest to get themselves into the Irish team. But our hope now lies with Ulster tomorrow as they travel to Toulouse and take those on. And I see that. Young James Hume, who he scored Ulster's only try against Leinster last week in the Pro 14. He is starting again tomorrow. He got his opportunity because Luke Marshall has been out injured, but he's a guy I think, Mark, to watch for Ireland in the future.
I agree.
He's a quick, good centre. And we should mention too about Sam Bennett. He's going good. He's holding on to that green jersey. So fair play to him if he can come through. And I know there was a bit of controversy there maybe a week or 10 days ago where your man, the English rider.
Yes, Bradley Wiggins.
Yeah, Wiggins. Yeah, yes. It was trying to claim him as British.
Yes, yes. He got torched quite a bit on mainstream and on social media on that one. So, he made a statement like that and didn't apologize for it as either when a few people called him out on it. So, and he stuck to his guns. He's a bit of a weird cat anyway. But yeah, that's a bit of a dodgy statement to make. And but that would be a fantastic achievement. The green jersey obviously has never been won by an Irishman, correct? And it looks like he's home and dry. I mean, something disastrous has to happen at this stage for him not to get the green jersey. So best of luck to him. I guess it all wraps up this weekend, does it not?
It does indeed. The ride into Paris, I think, will be tomorrow. They have some time trials today. But the ride into Paris, which is really just a kind of bit of a showpiece. It's a little bit of a parade in there. So, yeah, unless, as you say, something disastrous happens. I haven't seen anything today. But anyway, let's hope he holds on to that and goes through and takes the green jersey. It'd be a nice little achievement for sure, no doubt.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And I wanted to mention there, we talked about Nadia Power, the athletics ladies 800-meter runner there. She actually finished first place in the 800 meters at the World Athletics in Zagreb. So she clocked another wonderful time, 2:02. So pretty cool that she's getting in good form that we'll have to keep an eye out because it sounds like the Olympics are going to go ahead no matter what next year. So she'll be one to watch.
Hey, do you remember many years ago, if I mentioned the name Sergei Bubka? Do you know that name, Kenny?
No.
Okay. Sergei Bubka used to be he's the world record in pole vault that has stood for 26 years. And a young fella by the name of Armand Duplantis, he's only 20 years of age and he's Swedish, I believe. And he has just broken Sergei Bubka's 26-year-old pole vault record. And if you want to get treated to some serious, just to understand how how significant that is, you got to see the if you go to YouTube and look up Armand Duplantis pole vault and take a look at what he's done. Like, talk about getting every last inch out of the pole that you're leaping from, and his arm is fully stretched. His hand is at the very top of the pole. I mean, it's highly unlikely this will ever be beaten again. But there you go, Sergei Bubka.
Brilliant, brilliant, great.
It's like saying the name, Kenny.
Yeah, I think it is. I think that is something that that you seem to be getting a bit of a thrill out of. I have to say, good man, good man. Right, let me quickly play this and we'll come back and chat to you.
All right.
Need a more flavorful lager for your next gathering? Try a Guinness Hop House 13. 100% Irish-grown malted barley meets our famous Guinness yeast for a medium-bodied taste and a lingering finish. All the way from the legendary St. James Gate Brewery in Dublin. Find it straight from the keg at select pubs or in 500ml cans Canada-wide. Just look for the white can. Guinness Hop House 13. More hops, more taste, more character.
Well, Mark, I have to tell you, I did enjoy a few of them last evening. So, yeah, make sure you pick a few of those yokes up. Listen, there is a few little things going on that we should announce here just because of the calendar of events. Another pal of the show and someone who performed at the Irish Person of the Year, Emily Flack, has a concert tomorrow night at 8 p.m. And again, that's another virtual one. Tickets are only $10 for Emily's concert there. And it's you can access that at sidedooraccess.com. And you'll be able to see where Emily is performing tomorrow night. So that should be a good one. And the season closer for the Brian Dolan Golf Society is taking place on the 3rd of October. And that's down at the Lakeview Golf Course. And you can get in touch with Rory about that. And his email address is dermotrory@gmail.com. And hopefully we get a good turnout for that. I know we've got our foursome in there. And then a very important date on the 4th of October is the Solace House Go the Distance. And you can register your team by going to their website, of course. And you've got 12 hours from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. on the 4th of October to walk or run as many kilometers as you can. And they'll take care of the business. And there's some great prizes, including co-hosting this program with us, Mark, as a prize.
I'd say there'd be people putting on the brakes, Kenny, now to slow down a little bit. Not do the kilometer so they can avoid that one.
They know they'd have a bit of crack with us. Another concert announcement that I did mention earlier on is, of course, our pal Sean Keane. He is performing tonight. So if you go to his website, you can check that out and see if there's a ticket available for you. You could maybe get into that. And I see that, Nathan Carter is having a concert. He is going to be performing from the Crumlin Roll Jail in Belfast I think it's the 27th. So you're going to have an eye out for Nathan. He'll be performing. Obviously, it'll be a virtual concert, but you'll be able to see him. I do think there are some fans been allowed in, because I know in the north they're, of course, under different guidelines than anyone else, and that is on Saturday the 17th of October at 8 p.m. so you can check out his website and look up for tickets there.
Brilliant. Good old Nathan.
Hi. And, exactly,
a couple of results in the Premiership. Everton are on top of the league. The best side in Mersey are now on top, Kenny. Everton 5 West Bromwich Albion 2. So 5-2, great win for Everton. Hat trick there by what's his name? Calvin Lewin, maybe.
And
5-2, they won.
That's incredible.
Leeds have bounced back from a loss to your lads last week, and they've beaten Fulham by 4-3, a 7-goal thriller there at Elland Road. So Leeds are back in business, and of course, Manchester United have their first game of the season here in about 5 minutes. They're at home to Crystal Palace, and then Arsenal are at home to West Ham United at 3 o'clock. So none of the games really overlap during this COVID thing, I think. So there's a game on pretty much all the time. And then tomorrow morning, of course, our lads are at it. Your fellas have a big game against Chelsea, and our boys take on Southampton, Tottenham and Southampton. So should be
very good. Well, that's two weekends in a row for Leeds to be involved in 7-goal thrillers. That's pretty amazing stuff. They've come out the right side of it this time, obviously, with the 4-3 win. And not so good news for West Brom. That's two heavy defeats for them. They could be going straight back down if life continues that way for them.
Absolutely. Now, they did lose a man just before halftime. They were down to 10 men for the second half, and their manager was also given a red card. I did see that, but... Anyway, a deserved red card it was too. There you
All
go,
right.
Pal.
Well, that's it.
25.
Yeah, we'll maybe just have enough time to bang out a couple more tracks. We'll maybe play the new one from Nathan Carter, which is Sarah Jane. And the next track we'll play here is Mary Black, and She Moves Through the Fair. So that'll probably just wrap out the program, Mark. great chatting to you this week. Folks, thanks for tuning in to us. And we hope that you're still getting some enjoyment out of the program here. And thanks to our guests. We had Kathy Murphy. We had Ken Griffin, not Ken Griffey Jr., from August Wells. And, of course, another name that people could get mixed up. We had Graham Lindsay, not Lindsay Graham. So, and, of course, our new ambassador to Canada, Jamaica, and the Bahamas, and our honorary consul, Ethna Heffernan. So thanks to everyone for coming on the program and spending their time with us. And thank you, pal.
Well done, Ken. Great music, great show. And we'll chat next week.
Chat next week. Slán, folks.
I once had a sweetheart. I loved her right well. I loved her far better than my tongue can tell. Her parents did slight me for the want of guile. Adieu to all pleasure, since I lost my dear. She went away from me and moved through the fair, where hand-clapping delights, loud shouts rend the air. The sunlight around her did sparkle and play, saying it will not be long, love, till our wedding day. When dew falls on meadows and moths fill the night, when glow from the greasock on half rose, half light, I'll slip from my casement and I'll I dreamed last night that my love came in. She came in so easy, her feet made no din. She came stepping up to me, she did say, it will not be long, love, till our wedding day.
some tunes up on Grafton Street on a grand old Dublin date. When she walked right up and she said hello, and I stopped to ask her name. When I saw her face for the first time, I knew right then I had to make her mine. Her lovely smile drove me insane, and I fell in love with Sarah Jane. She rising up the bow and she began to play. I she jumped right in with the jigs and the reels and the sure as a Botany Bay. When I heard her play for the first time, I knew right then I had to make her mine. The lovely sound drove me insane, and I fell in love with Sarah Jane. Every now and then to the place on Grafton Street where we met that day and we fell in love playing tunes in harmony.